The views and opinions expressed on Analyze This are entirely those of the on-air participants and do not reflect that of the station's board, management, staff, or underwriters.
And good morning, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Analyze This here on your NPR station here in the U.S. Virgin Islands, WTJX FM 93.1 on your radio dial. Of course, you can get us on TuneIn.com as well and other apps that you know allow for us to be global. I want to give a shout out to my friend down there in Australia. I've been giving her a shout out in a while. I hope all is well down under. See, right now it's like just after 11 p.m. Sydney, Australia time. Yeah, they got 15 hours on. Like I said, I was talking to the engineer last week about that. It's a weird thing, right? Where the Pacific time zone, right? That'll be Washington, Oregon, California. They will see sunlight 5 hours before Sydney, Australia. But they are technically 19 hours behind Sydney, Australia because of the international dateline, which is weird. So in other words, right now it's 4:05 out in California, right? And it's 11:05 p.m. Wednesday night in Australia. In another 2 or 3 hours when the sun comes up in California, right? It'll be 2 or 3 hours. It'll be 1 a.m. 2 a.m. Thursday morning in Australia. You know what I'm saying? It's weird, but that's why you have the international dateline. Because at some point, they got to end, and they got to start someplace else as well. So that's just weird. Same with Japan. Japan is actually 12. They're 12. So right now, it's 8 p.m. in Tokyo, thereabouts. Either 8 or 9. But Australia's a little bit further west of us. So, you know, it's just crazy. Absolutely crazy. So, we'll knock it out. I don't have the numbers yet for yesterday. Went on the Facebook site for the Department of Health, so I don't have the local numbers yet. But, you know, yesterday when I was doing my math here on the station, Rufus Tumble been telling me about how I supposed to knock that out already, the percentages, since they only got 2 hours, so want them to know. I ain't got the numbers yet, so I ain't got no percentages to knock out. So even when I get them, I'm going to still have to do them during the 2 hour window. So deal with it. Okay? And good morning to you over there in the rock. You know, we hurting, you know. One of the WTJX family lost someone very near and dear to them, and kind of reeling, you know. So if you notice, we ain't really, you know, as level as we normally are, it's because we're grieving. Okay? Now, nationally, yesterday, according to worldometer.info, we are now at 28,897,000 cases, 28,897,718. The New York Times has that number at 28.2 million. So they're about 600,000-700,000 behind worldometer.info. Worldometer.info has the deaths number at 514,996. New York Times has their numbers at 502,419. The COVID-19 tracking project, yesterday's data of 1.2 million people tested, they have 68,000 cases, which is up 15,000 from the day before. Let me look at what the number was last week, Tuesday. They had 1.1 million cases and 56,000. 1.1 million tests and 56,000 cases 7 days ago. The good news is the hospitalizations a week ago today was at 64,533, and it is now down to 55,058. And there were 2,196 deaths yesterday. So we're definitely trending in the right direction. The Dow looked like it stabilized at 31,500 thereabouts. You notice in the last 3 days there hasn't been significant movement. Yesterday, based on Monday's data, the change was less than a tenth of a percent. Yesterday's data, the change was a half a percent, at 0.05%. The Dow closed at 31,537.35. The day before, the Dow closed at 31,521.69. So yesterday was up 15.66. So, looks like the Dow, there isn't going to be anything going on until if and when there's a stimulus bill or what have you. We know it's cleared the budget committee and it should be considered by the full body sometime soon. I read where the Republicans are railing against it and they're coming together to vote against it. So that's going to be interesting to see if they vote against putting money in the people's pocket. 16 of the 30 blue chip stocks were up and 14 were down. So that's pretty much all we got. You know, we got yesterday afternoon, I was on the phone and I got another text message. And we heard that one of the great sports icons was involved in a very serious car accident. So when I looked down, I saw that Tiger Woods had been a single car crash where his SUV rolled over. And of course, there was some misinformation with respect to how he was extricated from the vehicle. Originally, was saying there were the jaws of life, but we found out that that was not true. He was extricated with an axe and came through the windshield. Last night, early this morning, around 1:30, 2 o'clock our time, they released a official medical update on his condition, and I'm going to read that for you now. As a result of that as well, you know, being the sports junkie that I am, I got the former Lieutenant Governor Asbjørn Pata coming on to talk about the impact of one Eldrick Tiger Woods in hour number one. Because, you know, he's not slouch. He's big. And looking forward to getting to that conversation because he inspired a lot of people to take up the sport. That was once considered a sport for elitists. And we're going to have a conversation about the impact of Tiger Woods. But here we go, right? Here's a statement. We thank everyone for the overwhelming support and messages during this tough time. As previously communicated, Tiger was involved in a single car accident early this morning in California. He has undergone a long surgical procedure on his lower right leg and ankle after being brought to the hospital. Mr. Woods suffered significant, this is from the doctor now, quote, Mr. Woods suffered significant orthopedic injuries to his right lower extremity that were treated during emergency surgery by orthopedic trauma specialist at Harbor UCLA Medical Center, a level one trauma center. comminuted open fractures affecting both the upper and lower portions of the tibia and fibula bones were stabilized by inserting a rod into the tibia. Additional injuries to the bones of the foot and ankle were stabilized with a combination of screws and pins. Trauma to the muscle and soft tissue of the leg required surgical release of the covering of the muscles to relieve pressure due to swelling. And this is Anish Mahajan, MD, Chief Medical Officer and Interim CEO at Harbor UCLA Medical Center. He is currently awake, responsive, and recovering in the hospital room. Thank you for the wonderful doctors and hospital staff at Harbor UCLA Medical Center, the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department, and the Fire Department. Your support and assistance has been outstanding. There are no further updates at this time, and we continue to thank you for your well wishes and privacy for him and his family. So, that one was reverberating yesterday all over. And you know, Tyga has been in addition to being, you know, iconic and just great golfer and athlete, he's also had some incidents. And, you know, he won a lot of tournaments, a lot of majors. They call them Grand Slams. Either the Masters, the U.S. Open, the British Open, or the PGA Championship. He had won 14 of them between 1997 and 2008. And then he hadn't won a major for 11 years, and then he came back in 2009 and won the Masters for a fifth time. And, you know, Tiger's just one of those special athletes. So yesterday was, people wondering like what was going on. So I'm looking forward to talking about the impact of Tiger Woods with a golfer enthusiast, Asbel Pater. I know Doc's cool, I think. He ought to be at the Mahogany Run as well, playing golf too. So, you know, we all want to know what's going on, and hopefully we have the next Tiger Woods here in the Virgin Islands. We used to have a big tournament for our young people here on St. Croix at Carambola. Rennie Rocha used to bring that tournament together. It used to be every November, I think it was. We're going to provide some history with that tournament as well over at the number one course here in the Virgin Islands. Over there in Carambola on the northwestern side of St. Croix. So I'm looking forward to having that discussion. And then we got the U.S. Virgin Islands Economic Development Authority coming on in the second hour. Cusa Holloway and my man Jed John Hope. We're going to talk a little bit more about the webinars that they've been doing on Wednesdays. And there we go. So, Teens on the Green World Championship Series was the tournament that used to be held here over at Carambola back in the day. Maybe we could revive that again. That was a good tournament. And, of course, you know, Cosmo Williams, who is part of the ownership out there, I think the zip line was a Cosmo Williams initiative as well. The Carambola zip line over there. So we can enjoy that conversation with Lieutenant Governor, former Lieutenant Governor Asbel Pater. Talk a little bit about impact in golf in the Virgin Islands. And there we're going to talk about this tournament that used to take place over here at Carambola. So, you know, the sun's out. The day started off kind of overcast. Had a nice little shower this morning to bless us. And we're looking forward to having a good conversation. A good show, really. Had a great show yesterday. And Department of Labor fucked us up. And of course, Salim Malik started the first hour. So analyze this on a hump day, the last Wednesday in February 2021. Take a break. Be back right after this.
Employee safety and health is essential. As the owner or manager of an organization or business, how do you keep your workplace safe and employees healthy? Help is available. UVI Safety in Paradise program provides free occupational safety and health audits of workplace hazards and programs. You'll get a free assessment, guidance, and training to help you protect your workers and reduce costs due to accidents and illness. Always confidential. Always free. For details, visit safety.uvi.edu.
There's a new live jazz experience on public radio, Jazz Night in America. Exclusive concerts from around the country, conversations with artists, and video webcasts that give you the backstage pass. I'm Christian McBride. Join me right here on this station for Jazz Night in America.
Jazz Night in America, Fridays at 9 p.m. on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
Hi, it's Maria, Maria Hinojosa from Latino USA. You have so much information at your fingertips. Don't you sometimes feel overwhelmed by it all? Here at Latino USA, we know that your time is valuable, which is why our team prides itself on producing original stories that you won't hear anywhere else. Check us out and share us with your friends and family. Thanks for listening.
Latino USA, Saturdays at 6 a.m. and again at 4 p.m. on WTJX 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
And we are back here on Analyze This. Of course, you know, it's Wednesday. You know, working our way on, you know, I'm telling you, man, it was January 1st of the day, and come Monday, it's going to be March the 1st. I mean, this year done humming already, right? 31 days in January, today's the 24th, that's 55 days, so tomorrow going to complete 8 weeks of the 52, that'll be 2021.
Wow.
Time just flying, man. Every time I see somebody now, I don't even tell them Happy New Year. When I see them for the first time, I tell them Happy February. So next, come Monday, I'm going to start telling people Happy March, because this year done flying by already. Former CEO, back then he was executive director at WTJX. Then he... you know, he left this Smile Fry gig and wanted to be the number two man in the territory, Asbel Pata. Good morning, man. How are you, Lieutenant Governor? What's up?
Hey, morning, Evan. Morning. How are you doing, man?
Hey, good to hear your voice. I ain't hear you or seen you since the radio drive. which seems like a long time ago, but it was December 1st and 2nd, but time to fly, you know?
Yeah, time to fly when you're having fun, that's it, right?
That's right.
I guess you're having all the fun, man.
That's right. How you been? How's everything?
Everything is fine, man. Everything is fine.
How's the weather in St. Thomas?
Trying to relax.
Yeah.
Today is good. It's bright and sunny, man.
Yeah.
It's a bright and sunny day today, so.
That's good.
One of those.
A good day to head out to Mahogany Run, swing the golf clubs.
Boy, listen. We haven't had that.
I know.
For years now.
I know. So you guys have no golfing availability, and not even a driving course over there.
Listen, the only place is available is down UVI, where you could just go and hit
some balls, right?
Hit some balls, but that's all. You know, it's nothing. So yeah. I've been actually trying to see if I could identify and encourage some. People to actually purchase the golf course and all of that, but you know, it's been coming up. isn't coming up, basically empty, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's an 18-hole course over there, Mahogany Run?
18 holes, yes.
Okay. And I got a lot of undulations, a lot of hills and all that stuff, right?
Yeah. And you know, you have a lot of water on the course.
Yeah.
At different parts, and then you have the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for people like me who don't hit the ball too straight. I hit a lot of balls in the ocean, so you know how that.
Yeah, that'll happen. Even Tiger himself have always said that he's been crooked after greens, but he's been long, and his imagination makes up for that lack of being straight. You know what I'm saying?
Yep. Without a doubt, man.
Yeah, Calvin Pete, right? They say he isn't the straightest hitter. He wasn't just the straightest hitter on the PGA Tour. They said that Calvin Pete was the straightest hitter who ever lived. And that's another black man as well. You know, Calvin Pete with the Kangol cap and all that stuff.
I remember when he was, you know, hitting on the tour.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he did really good on the tour.
Yeah, he won a world. He won what's the big one? The non-major? The Players' Championship. He won a Players' Championship one time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's good. So yesterday when you heard Tiger situation again, because, you know, back in 2009 when he had that domestic situation, he had gotten in an accident. He ran over a fire hydrant and all that stuff. And he'd been fighting a lot of injuries over his career, taking painkillers and all that stuff. So you heard yesterday what had happened. What was the first thing that came to your mind?
Well, first thing that came to my mind was I hope that he could at least live through it. You know, that's the first thing, you know. You know, after a while, golf becomes like a secondary thing. But once you get past that and you still have life, then you're thankful for that. And then it was like, okay, just how extensive were the injuries?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when you see the vehicle.
Wow.
You know, when you see the vehicle, it like make your hair raise.
Yeah, man.
It's just like, wow.
Yeah.
You know, that condition that the vehicle was in, you wonder, well, what could happen to anyone that was inside the vehicle? So, as the news came out, it really seemed like he was a really lucky guy.
Not really. Extremely.
Extremely lucky.
Yeah.
Number one, to be alive. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And whether he can be able to. I don't think at this point in time.
That's a concern. The
question should be whether he could play golf again or compete again.
To be able to walk.
You hope he could walk straight again. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, Michael.
Because they said that he have, you know, broken bones and fractures and two different places on his right leg and all of that. So, hey, listen, Tiger was an inspiration, has been an inspiration to so many, many, many golfers.
Globally.
Abroad and here locally and everything, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
When I was introduced to the game, you know, is when Tiger was just busting on the scene.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when I hit a bar straight, I know I beat like Tiger.
That's what I'm saying, that, you know. You know, he really inspired, and not only that, he made a lot of people a lot of money.
Yes, for sure.
I'm going to make that reference in a little bit. Winning a tournament, right, on the PGA Tour now can make you a millionaire over a matter of 4 days.
Instantly.
Seriously. First place prize money, pre-Tiger, when you were taking home a first place check at 180, 200,000, you were considered making a lot of money. In a matter of 5 years, 4 to 5 years with Tiger on the tour, a first place check was $1,080,000. And forget it. It's just crazy. And the sponsorship that he was generating for the tour, for the different tournaments. Let me put it this way. If you, they got like the US, the PGA Tour is like from January in Hawaii until like sometime in November, right? With the with the touring championship, right? Everybody who win a tournament, they get to play in that tournament. It used to be in East Lake and Houston and all that stuff, right? That would be sometime in November, right? If Tiger coming to your tournament, if he commit to going to your tournament, instantaneously the value of your tournament shoots up.
Of course.
His appearance, even if he don't play well, him just playing at your golf course in your tournament makes your tournament a revenue generator.
And one additional big reason for that is you have a lot of people, me included, who wouldn't even watch the tournament if Tiger isn't in it.
Well, you know, with me, right? The sports junkie that I am, right? I grew up, right, watching Jack Nicklaus, right? And the only reason why I was a Jack Nicklaus fan, right, was back then it was Lee Trevino,
Arnold Palmer,
Chichi Rodriguez, right?
Yeah.
Gary Player was big
Gary
then.
Player.
And
yeah,
the only reason why I had liked Jack, right, was because his initials were my initials in reverse. Right, he was JN, and I was NJ. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So, and plus, one of my close friends, his parents went to Ohio State, and that's where Jack went to college at Ohio State University.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
So I was like, but I like Chichi. I like Chichi because Chichi was a showman. He used to turn the potter into a sword. Right?
Yeah, he was stylish.
He had charisma, and Lee Trevino as well. One thing I had liked about Lee Trevino was, even though Jack was considered the best, you ever notice when you are growing up, you're playing any sport, even if a man is deemed the best, they always got a couple man who could care less if he's the best or not. They're thinking is, I gonna still kill he anyway. Me care yep, how good yep, he be, yep, yep, and that's how yep. all Lee Trevino was. Plus, you know, he was, he's Mexican. He's half Mexican, so you know the one thing about Mexican, you go kill them. That's how they. that's how they are, right?
They definitely keep coming at you, man.
And
they
the sport, yeah, the sport suffered so much, right? And people don't know this, right? Once those guys moved on and they got up in their 40s and they weren't having the impact anymore, you know what saved the sport before Tiger Woods? It was the Senior Tour. When the same names that we just called started playing in the senior tour at 50,
people could see them, really follow them.
And then Tiger took over in the mid to late 90s, and at that point, right, you know, what he did when he won that Masters in less than a year on the tour, and he won the Masters by 12 strokes in 1997, right. and from then, the whole game changed.
The sponsors. They are sensible people. They know that the television audience is going to be extremely massive if Tiger is in the tournament, number
mm-hmm.
one,
mm-hmm.
and if he's playing good, number two. So they know that their ads have a opportunity to hit home with a lot more people if Tiger's in versus if Tiger is not in the tournament. So they will be readily willing, just like the Super Bowl.
That's right.
Sponsors, they show their money for the Super Bowl because they know they have an audience. Large. Okay? And it's the same thing with Tiger. If Tiger play in the tournament and the first 2 days, the Thursday and Friday, he ain't playing good and he don't make it to the weekend, you know how many viewers turn their set off and go find something else to watch because Tiger is not playing on the weekend? That's the kind of
impact
yeah, man. that he had and continue to have on golf or through the world. You know, everybody looking, hopefully, they were hoping that he could have made it to the Masters this year.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just his presence is what people look forward to and just anticipate. Well, we wonder if it has a little bit more magic left in the clubs for another tournament and all of that. It is shocking, but we hope that at least he is able. Well, number one, he lived through that rough accident, that rough crash, and number two, we hope that he is able to stand up straight and walk again. You know, he have a young son. You understand
mm-hmm,
what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And the quality of life that would be involved in him, you know, raising his young son in particular. You know, it's something that I know he looks forward to, and if he is unable to, I guess, continue to walk and stand and do all the things that he wants to do with his son, that's going to be, I think, his biggest disappointment compared to not being able to play golf again.
Well, you know, he just finished, I think, in December. He played the father-son tournament, right? He had the father-son tournament
and
in December.
Yeah, his son looked good, man.
Son looked good, yeah. So check this out, just for context, right, to let people know what we're talking about. The year before he got on the tour, he joined the tour in 1996. The year before he joined the tour, the Players' Championship is considered the richest tournament on the tour, even though it's not a major. First place check, 1995, Lee Johnson, $540,000, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's 1995, you know. 5 years later, 2000, first place check, $1,080,000, doubled.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
And today, right, the most recent winner in 2019, because they didn't have it last year because of COVID-19, Rory McIlroy won it. Not a great young golfer, right, out of Ireland, right, or Northern Ireland, I think it is, right? 2019, first place check, $2,250,000.
Yep, those guys recognize the impact that Tiger have. The players,
mm-hmm.
The players on tour know that they definitely have to be thankful to Tiger for what he has caused them. You know, their earnings are, you know, extremely, extremely high now only because of Tiger, because of the direct impact of Tiger.
One man's impact on the sport exponentially increased the value of being a successful golfer globally.
Yep, without a doubt, man.
Wow.
And don't talk about all of the companies that actually make golf equipment and think they, you know, shoot through the roof.
Remember Nike wasn't big in golf or no, and they committed to Tiger Woods and he took full advantage of that, and the next thing you know, Adidas, all of them.
Golf and they're looking for a Nike ball.
Yes, sir.
You know.
Yes, sir. Just because of Tiger Woods. And let's be honest here. He was a person of color. That definitely had something to do with it, number one. And number two, he knew how to market himself, because if he was in contention, when Sunday come and you see that red shirt and that black pants and that Tiger Woods cap, all of that is marketing and money.
Yeah, man. Yeah, without a doubt. And, you know, I definitely enjoy the years seeing him, you know, just do his thing. You know, he was like just magical, you know. He would be a few strokes behind, and then the next thing you know, Tiger back in the hunt.
Imagine that. And then, look, I remember when he got real good, right? In 97, that year when he won the Masters. He won like four tournaments that year. One of the tournaments is the Western Open over there in Chicago. And here he is coming up the 18th green. And it was like people coming to see Obama swear in in Washington, D.C. The army, right? He was like a black Arnold Palmer. Because remember, they used to say Arnie's Army when people started to run on the course, run behind Arnold Palmer. And when
man,
you see it, and not only that, it was young people. That's what made Tiger Woods so spectacular. He encouraged a lot of young people to get involved in the game.
Yeah, people who were not even thinking remotely about golf, whether as just a recreation thing or even to watch it and follow it and all of that, you know, came in, you know, just because of him. Now, the last Masters that he won,
2019.
Did you see that crowd?
Look, that's what I'm telling you. That's what he does. He gets people.
He
has charisma. He's like the Reggie Jackson. You know, when Reggie hit the three home runs the night, and all the fans in New York City run down on the field, and Reggie running down, knocking people to get back in the dugout. That's the kind of impact that Tiger Woods had.
I'm a Yankee fan, so okay, you got right in my line.
In our wheelhouse.
Sorry, there.
In our wheelhouse. We're going to take a break. We're going to take a break when we come back. We're going to talk about yesterday's impact on the psyche of us. Because remember now, that area isn't far from what Kobe Bryant's situation last year, January. And that's still fresh in our minds. We'll talk about that.
Yep.
We got Lieutenant Governor Asbel Potter here talking about the impact of iconic and global people, global athletes and people impacting the world. We'll be back right after this.
It's a new year, New Year's resolutions, new financial plan. At Bank of St. Croix, we offer a suite of consumer and business services, including home and auto loans. With online banking, you can bank with us from anywhere 24/7. Bank of St. Croix has two locations, one in Gallows Bay, 340-773-8500, and one in Peter's Rest, 340-713-8500. Bank of St. Croix, bankofstcroix.com.
Hours ago, halfway around the world, the day has already begun.
Tens of thousands of people in Venezuela.
Britain is leaving the European Union.
Everyone was just running. People were crying. They were in tears. And we didn't know what was happening. Police kept telling us to move back, move back.
The thousands of protesters marched along a route.
When you need to know where the world went while you weren't looking. Morning Edition. Listen every morning.
Morning Edition, weekdays at 6 a.m. on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
On Point represents democracy in action every day with the sharpest guests and the sharpest listener calls. Our audiences often know as much as we do, connecting us in ways you won't find anywhere else. I'm David Folkenflik. Hear what you don't always see. Join Meghna Chakrabarty and me for the next On Point.
On Point, weekdays at 11 a.m. on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
And we are back here on Analyze This, and we got Lieutenant Governor, former Lieutenant Governor Asbjorn Padda, who was also a senator, for those of you who don't know. And we've also been joined by another former senator. He's now the PSC Executive Director, Donald Duck School.
my dolphin father.
Yeah, I've been calling this man, and when I'm trying to get you on, he's always had an engagement and all that stuff. But I knew that this morning when he heard that we're talking golf, whatever he was doing, they were in trouble because I know he wanted to be a part of this one. So,
golfing partner. Yes, let me just tell you. For years, okay? A long stretch of years.
Yeah.
The only time I play golf, the only time Ducks play golf, the only time Amos Carty play golf is when we play golf with each other, okay?
Yeah.
So we would play with each other every time, and we just didn't want to play with nobody else. That's our golf group.
Yeah.
Okay?
That's the Rat Pack. That's the St. Thomas Rat Pack. The St. Thomas Rat Pack, the golfers. Good morning, Ducks School.
Ducks were the A player.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning, my
A player.
A player,
give me a minute. A player, give me a second. Neville, right. I'm introducing you to the A player in our group, okay?
Okay.
Docs, go ahead.
Good morning to the people of Virgin Islands and the listening audiences to Analyze This, one of the most important programs in the territory and around the world, hosted by my good friend, former senator, former president, Neville James.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
Outer Cruz,
like the other side. The Big Island. Yeah.
The Big Island. Listen, I was in a meeting, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I got a call, and man said, my son, Asbjorn on the radio talking about golf, and we know Asbjorn just only know a little bit of thing about golf, but you know about golf. You need to stop what you're doing and go call Neville.
Yeah.
So, here I am.
No, but we, you know, like the last thing I said when we were speaking, we spoke about a number of things already, and we're going to talk about some more things as well, because Tiger impact is so broad, right? Was that last year, January, I think it was actually the date was the 26th, Sunday afternoon, we hear that Kobe Bryant being a helicopter crash, and then we found out that he had passed.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. that's still fresh in our mind because we never anticipate losing one of ours like this. Real right. So suddenly, and then now we hear that yesterday Tiger died in a car accident. So the first thing we're asking is he alive? And,
yeah.
and so they say yes. And then when you see the overhead shot, and uh-huh. you see the car, the SUV on the side, right? Mm-hmm. And you see you could see where it rolled because it got brushed, torn up, right? That's our local torn up like that. Right,
yeah.
We were like, wait a minute, how he survived? And this is what I wanted to tell you, Asbot Pada, in the first segment. Yesterday was the biggest endorsement for a seatbelt that we've seen in a long, long time.
Right.
Lieutenant Governor Pada.
Yeah, because definitely, the first officer on the scene indicated and continued to indicate that the seatbelt saved his life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And if there's anyone around who living in a hole and don't realize the importance of seatbelts, you know, they will definitely understand themselves right now. Seatbelt saves lives. That
was the
slogan that was out there for quite a while. I know when the seatbelt law was passed, it seemed like a nuisance. Like, why we got to put this on? And all of that. And after a while, now it has just become a normal part of the operation. You don't even feel comfortable in your car driving anymore unless you have on your seatbelt.
And, of course, the indicator ringing in the car, like, you know, you go clip it in.
Yeah.
So, and you don't want to hear that. But Ducks, Director Cool, we call it Ducks today because this is a golf thing, right? Your initial sentiment when you heard Tiger had gotten in the crash, number one, and then number two, your general observation of his global impact as a athlete of color impacting a sport that was predominantly played by white people.
Listen, my wife is who called me yesterday and tell me your boy got in an accident. So I said, my boy, I wonder which one of my boy. I thought it was his pata. You know,
mm-hmm.
that was part of getting an accident. So your boy, because that's, you know, Tiger. I love Tiger.
Mm-hmm.
And when she say your boy, I say what? And then she finished up, said Tiger Woods man got in an accident. So the first thing I say, he dead? He said no, but he injured bad. And I said, well, I hope his injuries ain't life threatening.
Mm-hmm.
You say if you see the car, you would want to know if he was alive, because I didn't see the images until I finally got into the office and looked at the news break, right? And for him to survive that, that was an act of God. Because for me, Tiger's work on this earth hasn't ended. And that was an act of God to save him. Now, let's see if he is going to recover, because what I'm seeing about his foot and stuff like that. What's the football player who got his foot mashed up and came back and played?
Alex Smith, the quarterback.
He had similar injuries with muscles and bone and all that kind of stuff, right?
Yeah, and not only that, in addition to the injuries, he had a lot of infections because of the surgery.
Yes,
yeah.
Because of the surgery. So we are hoping that Tiger would be able to at least come back and be able to walk and deal with that, and those infections, all that stuff, would be able to combat those. So that's what we're praying for this morning. When I prayed, you know, I send out a prayer for him, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's how we are.
Yeah.
That's how we are.
Of course, he's one away.
Yeah, I think they indicate that they have some you know, rods and screws and all of that in his leg.
Yeah.
You know? So we hope that at least he could, you know, be able to brace himself and walk. You know, and I think that's where it's going to start.
Well, I can read that one again. Apparently, he had open fractures affecting
mm-hmm.
both the upper and lower portions of the tibia and fibula bones, which were stabilized
right.
by inserting a rod that you just mentioned into mm-hmm. the tibia. Additional injuries, this is the one that's more concerning. Additional injuries to the bones of the foot and ankle. The ankle part is really what was concerned.
Yeah, the ankle.
We're stabilized with a combination of screws and pins. Trauma to the muscle that you just mentioned now, Docs, and soft tissue of the leg required surgical release of the covering of the muscles to relieve pressure due to swelling. So that's the areas there that they worry about for infection. You know what I'm saying? Because you're dealing with that soft tissue area and all of that stuff. You know, now I was just reading, right, about his dollar impact, right? Here's an article from December of last year, right? They say he became the first billion-dollar athlete in 2009. Now, he became a pro in the summer of 1996, fall. And within 13 years, he was already a billion-dollar athlete. That alone tells you of his global impact, right?
Yeah, man. See,
15 major titles.
Extremely significant.
Yeah, man. 15 major titles, 110 professional tournaments worldwide, right? His net worth may be closer to $900 million in 2020. But check out this particular stat right here, right? In 1996, when Woods turned pro, Tom Lehman topped the PGA Tour money list with $1.78 million, right? And Nick Price was 50th with $402,000. Fast forward 10 years to 2006, and Woods topped the money list at $9.94 million, and Richard Johnson in 50th place was 1.56, was just a little bit more than what the number one had earned 10 years earlier, and that is all because of Tiger Woods.
Yeah. Well, the thing about it is, we know where a lot of the money come from is television.
You better believe it,
right? And the television contracts that these networks sign. And then the players then get a percentage of all of that. But that is it. You had asked about his impact. His impact is like, you know you had Michael Jordan, and I want to go to Michael Jordan.
He's the greatest when it comes to athletes making money.
Yeah, athletic and the ability to market and money.
Mm-hmm.
And Tiger reached that point. I heard a portion of the conversation. You know, we were talking about the amount of money that he make other people make more money.
Mm-hmm.
Black athletes have been the phenomenon that have risen this type of monies to that level. Venus Williams in tennis,
mm-hmm.
and she continued to advocate for equal money for women on the tour in the women's tour on the Grand Slam.
The Grand Slam, yeah.
These women now make $2 million.
The same amount of the check for the men's single women is the same for the women's single winner. Because Venus put on her foot early in her career.
Venus put on her foot early, and these athletes, black athletes, impacted the world so that everybody who come behind are going to be able to exponentially increase their wealth. But the question we have to ask, Nabil and Azbut, is with Tiger not being on the tour anymore, how are these television contracts?
The game has expanded. The game has expanded so much because of Tiger Woods that they're going to survive.
They definitely will survive, and you also have some young good talent,
mm-hmm.
Dispersed throughout the world. Now that Tiger is what, 45,
thereabouts,
an old man in the business.
Yeah.
You have a lot of young talent that coming up. But the thing is, I don't know if at what level everything will be sustained, because you know, Docs, we don't watch golf unless Tiger is in it.
well, you know, I ain't watch golf in Neville. Neville watch golf every day. You know what I mean?
I lose my interest though. It ain't the same.
I haven't watched golf. I can't tell you who in any of the tournaments that was played. I don't watch golf anymore.
Nope.
Unless Tiger is in there. I mean, that's the truth.
The last thing I really watched was when Tiger and his son was playing in that tournament.
Yeah,
that's the last time I watched golf.
And then, of course, you know, we found out yesterday that he had surgery in the, we found out last week that he had surgery in December that nobody know of.
Nobody know about.
Because and he's been dealing with a lot of injuries. But don't forget, he won a U.S. Open in 2008. I remember being in my Senate office watching this. They had to, with a broken leg.
With a broken
on one
knee.
Foot. On one foot.
Knee, the knee, correct. Yes. Yeah, a one-stroke victory out there in San Diego, right? And but here's a couple of things I wanted to say. First of all, Rocky Leibold chime in. He said, don't forget Louis Abel, right? The song about Tiger and Augusta.
Tiger would accomplish that
in Augusta. Yeah, that's number one. And number two, Ducks, when you were talking about black athletes and generating money, I want to put something in its proper context, right? As great as Tiger Woods was in making money, the one black athlete who is responsible, right, for all of us.
Great Muhammad Ali.
Muhammad Ali? Don't ever downplay.
No.
How important he was. Because remember now, they took away his prime.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because he was world boxing champion and they wanted him to go to Vietnam. And they took away his prime. And when he came back and won the championship again, and he let me know, I'm the greatest of all time. And from there, that's when black athletes realized, look now, if it's one area that we could generate revenue, it's in sports. And now LeBron James, of course, you know, he's the man in the NBA and all that stuff, right? But don't ever downplay what they tried to do with Muhammad Ali. And he got a lot of young white people who were against the Vietnamese War to support him. And from there, by the way, you can't mention Muhammad Ali's name without mentioning Howard Cosell. Because remember Howard Cosell. Yeah.
They were hand and gloves.
They were hand and gloves. You check what I'm saying?
Neville.
Yeah.
Let me introduce something here that I had learned over the years in doing my class. I will talk about Muhammad Ali.
Mm-hmm.
Muhammad Ali, the clerk, right, who brought up the conscientious objector.
Yeah, that's the term.
Was a fan of Muhammad Ali. He wanted to see Muhammad Ali out and that concept of the conscientious objector that got Muhammad Ali out and get exonerated to the judicial system came up by this white guy who had loved Muhammad Ali.
See?
And he was sitting and he said, man, I got to find a way to find a way to help this man out. And that's where he came up with the conscientious objector principle. We're able to now use that for Muhammad Ali to be exonerated.
Here it is. Yeah. Conscientious objector. Yeah, you're right. I heard the phrase, you know, but I didn't realize there was a clerk involved who put on the foot. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. He was one of the brothers. Well, he was a white guy, but he's a clerk who he loved Muhammad Ali to death, man.
Wow.
And he decided that I got to find a way to convince the justices that this man was doing the right thing. And that's where the thing conscientious objector came from.
Interesting. That is interesting. So, you know what we're going to do, right? We're heading towards a top of the hour break in a couple of minutes. We'll keep you guys on for a little bit past the hour, and then we'll sign off at about 9:10, 9:15, then bring in the second guest, because there's a couple of things I want to talk about locally. How do we go about getting our young people to understand that being a student athlete, right, is the way to go? Because we've also heard about the horror stories with a lot of young athletes who run into a lot of money, and before you know it, they don't have anything to show for it. And at the end of the day, it's not only because they lack discipline, but they really don't have the kind of education they need to protect themselves. And, you know, all of us, you know, we wish the best for our young people, our young athletes. And we want to touch on that. We don't want to be negligent by just ignoring the realities of being rich overnight, but then not worrying about your future. Analyze this. We got Doug Skoll. We got Lieutenant Governor Asbapato here talking about the Tiger Woods impact. We'll be back right after this.
The views and opinions expressed on Analyze This are entirely those of the on-air participants and do not reflect that of the station's board, management, staff, or underwriters.